Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Hall. 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall starts now.
According to Football Outsiders, over the last 10 years, the top-ranked NFL defense has dropped an average of 7.7 spots the following year. What makes you think the Bears will buck that trend, and can they win the NFC North if they do not?
It's an interesting statistic, and apparently it goes back a lot farther than just 10 years. If you go back and look at NFL top defenses, it doesn't follow every season, but many, many seasons for a long time, this really holds up. The teams have a very difficult time keeping a number one defense this from one year to the next. Now, I need more information on that research.
Right.
The first thing that occurs to me is how many guys leave a number one defense? How many free agents go somewhere else? How many major injuries occur? Is it often the case, like the Bears, where you got a number one defense and you've lost two pieces and replaced them with two players, and all of your big guys, your big guns, are all up and running and ready to go again? And, you know, frankly, I think the reason the Bears bucked the trend, and I don't know that they're the number one defense again, but I suspect they'll be in the top three, if not the top five, the top five, if not the top three, if not the number one defense, because I see so much room for growth. I get it. The change in coordinator, there are issues and there are things they got to get working on. But Roquan Smith is going to be a significantly better player. You know, Eddie Goldman could still be a better player. They have young, talented players. Leonard Floyd could take a step forward. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But they do have guys that you know are going to be better, and other guys that could get significantly better. So I like their group. They got a really good football team. I think it's hard to mess this up.
I don't know how they're measuring this in terms of dropping 7.7 spots. I imagine there are a lot of metrics involved, and certainly I respect all of those. But I think with this Bear defense, you look at them from a big picture, you take a step back, and you think that the changes are subtle. They're not really significant. And when you have subtle changes, it helps you guard against complacency. I don't think this is a group that's going to be complacent. You look what happened along their defensive line in the past week. They cut Jonathan Bullard, all right? And Bilal Nichols, yep, a fifth rounder,
right,
from Delaware last year in his second season, is going to be the starter there. That is a hungry player. He's got something to prove. He's surrounded by superior talent. They have how many Pro Bowl caliber players on that defense? When you look at the Bears overall, big picture, they may have gotten better on defense, even though the numbers may not always reflect that. You look at the two guys they're replacing in the secondary, Buster Screen for Bryce Callahan and Ha Ha Clinton Dix for Adrian Amos. These are guys who are experienced. What do you want more than anything if you're a defensive coordinator? You want experience back there that you trust. Screen has 85 NFL starts.
Right.
Ha Ha Clinton Dix has started 74 games. He was a first-round draft pick. This Bears defense is not going to be overwhelmed by anything. You're going to get breakthrough type efforts from Roquan Smith. I do believe Leonard Floyd is going to take a major step this season, and you're going to get your same old contributions that are in a big way from Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Danny Trevathan, and your secondary. So this is a very good defense. That's even understating it. Chuck Pagano, too much was made, I think, of this expected drop-off, but I understand it because it is new. But I do believe...
Are they going to have six defensive touchdowns? I mean, this is the kind of thing that they're talking...
No.
Right. So those are difficult things to predict.
But are they going to give up more than 18 points a game?
Right.
I doubt it.
Wait, hold on. There's no baseball questions on the 5 at 5 today? What are we even doing? Nothing about Craig Kimbrell or Jose Quintana or the Brewers or anything like that? I'm just playing the games. I'm just being queued up here.
We'll get there, man. There's five questions. Patience, Kevbo.
Patience.
We're supposed to answer them one at a time.
It's not one of my virtues. I think the Bears, third overall in defense last season, and in turnover rate, they were the best. So if they drop seven spots, you know, that's a pretty steep drop right there. I don't envision that happening for all of the reasons that you guys kind of just went into there. They have players with a lot of upside. They have guys in their prime. They don't have many guys on the back nine of their careers. And hopefully they have guys that can avoid injury, because that was a big boost last year. Although it is important to note that Eddie Jackson did get injured late in the season, didn't play in the playoffs, which, you know, might change the face of how that game ended up. So they're going to need good health once again, and you can't really predict that. But as far as the defensive coordinator thing switching over, I don't know if the drop-off is going to be that vast. Vic Fangio was definitely one of the most renowned coordinators, and now fair play to him. He's got his head coaching job out in Denver. But I think the defense will be solid. I'm still really iffy on a couple of other things on this roster and with this team, but the defense is not one of them. I think the only reason that they would drop seven or eight spots in total defense would be a complete disaster in terms of injuries. Like, you would have to have, what, three, four, five starters go down on the defensive side of the ball for them to drop that low. Otherwise, it would be completely inexplicable. But I don't see many reasons that that would ever happen outside of catastrophic injury.
I, like Kevbo, looked at the 5 at 5 questions and thought to myself, where are the Blackhawks questions?
Yeah, where's the Blackhawks? They start up soon, right?
In time, my friend.
You look at this defense, and yeah, I get the questions you guys raise. I mean, what are they using to quantify this? I mean, you have a defense that's still together, and yes, as you guys pointed out, improved with the additions of Clinton Dix and Screen. I mean, why do I think they can buck the trend? I absolutely do, because Khalil Mack, because Akeem Hicks is coming off of one of the best seasons, the best season of his career. And I think Kevbo pointed out the key thing to all of this. If these guys can stay healthy, and we saw the Matt Nagy preseason plan, don't play anybody. Everybody is healthy to start the season. This is looking good. As long as they can stay healthy as they did last year, their healthiest season in a long time, then yes, they can buck the trend. And can they win the NFC North if they don't? Absolutely, because the drop-off, I don't think, will be that severe. It's going to be damn near impossible to repeat the exact same numbers that this defense was putting up last year, but I don't think the drop-off is going to be that severe. So yes, they can still win the NFC North.
Cowards and losers live in the past, my friend. Okay, and you know how I feel about the metrics. It's interesting. I'll give it that. It's an interesting stat. It's happened. But Khalil Mack, and as you pointed out, Mully, the middle linebacker is really good, and he's been in the system now for a year, and he's figured out the NFL for a year. Eddie Jackson not in the postseason. I believe they've actually gotten better at safety. I think Clinton Dix is going to prove to people just because of the contract. He wants to get paid.
He's got something to prove.
He wants to get paid. The biggest question mark will be is if Chucky P gets aggressive, can these corners hold up? But if he gets aggressive, I think this front seven is so good that the corners aren't going to have. Going back to the 85 Bears, what was the weakest link of the 85 Bears defense? The corners. But what was the best part about the 85 defense? The front seven, because they only had three seconds. You better have that ball out. Otherwise, at the very least, your offensive lineman was in the quarterback's lap or the quarterback was on his rear end. One of those things were going on, so it didn't matter that the cornerbacks weren't fantastic. So, listen, they're going to be a top five defense unless, as Kevin talked about, there's horrific injuries.
You asked me that same question the other day.
No, I wasn't at your meeting.
No, I'm messing with you.
How long will Eddie Pinheiro be the Bears' field goal kicker? One game, a quarter of the season, half the year, or all the way? And how long do you imagine the noose around his neck to be?
This is such a mean question.
I think
we
it's fair.
We had a texter who said, if you have a 5 at 5 question regarding the kicker, he's going to light himself on fire. And I responded, keep the extinguisher handy.
I guess.
Unfortunately,
okay.
This is going to be a topic of conversation. We talked about it at the open, Molly. This is going to be something that's an unpleasant reality about the Bears as we welcome back the football to 2019. This season, unfortunately, is going to hinge a lot on the kicker because they have solved a lot of problems in the offseason. It's been a long 8 months. But when you woke up January 7th or whatever it was, the day after they lost to the Eagles, you thought the Bears had a Super Bowl caliber team, but if only for their kicker. You wake up this morning and you feel like the Bears have a Super Bowl caliber team, if only for the kicker. And that is still a major concern. I don't think they're going to be in terrible. They have to say the right things now. You have to be publicly confident, patient, all those things. I'm not sure how much they believe in him. I'm not sure how long the rope will be.
One game.
Well, if he's 0-for-3 tonight and he misses a PAT, he could be gone tomorrow. I don't anticipate that. I think they're going to probably – let's give it till the bye week. Let's realistically say the bye week once they get back from London, reassess where they are. Hey, Cody Parkey tried out yesterday or this week for the Tennessee Titans, lost the job to Kairos Santos. So anything is possible.
I don't like the former Bears going up against each other. That's just not right.
That's tough. That's tough stuff. Look, one game. That is so cruel. I mean, I like you with the bye week. Look, let the kid go to London, huh?
He got his passport, you know? He's got to use it now. Get that stamp.
He'll have a jolly good time. Boy. The field goal kicker thing is a big problem. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic, but I think it's going to be a while. I think he's going to be a part of this team for a while. I think that he gets through half the season. I think that that maybe he gets through the entire season. I just think that there will be – he'll go off the boil. If it doesn't happen early, it'll happen about midway through the year, and they'll have a hard decision to make. But, look, every kicker, every season, everybody goes through different issues and different problems, and something will arise that he'll have to overcome, and they'll have to either support him or bail on him. And I think really at its heart, that's what this question is. This question is, how much faith do they actually have in this kid? Have they signed him for the year, or have they signed him on a week-to-week basis? And, you know, look, we're all day-to-day, but that kid more than most. It's a very unfortunate position to be in.
Well, I'm gonna try to be optimistic about Eddie Pinheiro. Seems like a decent enough kid, but the fact that, for whatever reason, Ryan Pace and this whole regime, since he's been instilled and installed as the general manager, they haven't had the best luck with kickers, have they? And we could run through the laundry list from Parkey to Santos to Barth to everybody in between. It's hard to have a ton of confidence in him. He was just kind of the last kid at the dance, and he's forced to go out there on the dance floor. I mean, you can come up with all the analogies if you want. And I don't want to be
mean. I'm in middle school again.
Yeah, exactly. We're all having flashbacks.
We're all going to prom. Bob, you're going with Alice. What?
I think he'll last more than one game.
In the corner down here, we've got a giant setup, so you can come down and kick some field goals. What does that tell you about where we're at with the kicker?
Are there any Bear scouts down there?
Still taking applications.
Come down and kick. Oh my God.
Blimey.
There's a live stream right to Ryan Pace's phone.
I hope it goes better than the last kicking competition that went on where everybody was slipping in the snow and everything when they did it down to Goose. But,
God, that was this offseason.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
exactly
how long ago that was.
Seems like yesterday. He's going to last more than one game. I mean, even if he has a complete... howler tonight, I think he's going to get at least two games, but I'll say half the year, because I think if things do start going south, they don't have that financial obligation like they did last year with Parkey, which was a big reason he stuck around till the end, is because they owed him so much damn money. But I say half a year for Eddie Pinheiro, and I don't want to be harsh, I don't want to be negative, but you know, I got to see it before I can really believe in it, and I don't quite believe in it yet.
Yeah, we have seen nothing from Eddie Pinheiro other than preseason football. This is this kid's first NFL game. So what do we have to... There's nothing to base belief into. I'm going to be as optimistic as I can be. And that is to say, I will say, without seeing anything from this kid in real game situations, a quarter of the season at the worst / best. Now, hopefully, I'm wrong about that, and we have our next, Robbie Gould type of long-term kicker.
The next butthead.
Because I am so sick of the kicker conversation and the kicker competition. So I hope it's longer than a quarter of the season. But, I mean, he would have to go out there and miss everything and double doink it to hell for him to only have one game with the Bears in this season. So I'm going to say an optimistic quarter of the season at the very worst, and I hope I'm wrong, and he's way better than that.
Yeah, let's be glass half full here, right? Okay?
Clean slate.
And as Matt Nagy pointed out, he's looking for him to make all his extra points tonight, not field goals, meaning he wants touchdowns. Okay? Now, I think in the preseason, we goofed around. We talked about maybe Nagy would call different plays, right, to get the field goal kicker in situations to see if he could make them. Tonight, he's going to be going for touchdowns. He's not going to be looking to put this kid out there to make a statement. If he has to do it, obviously he's going to trot him out there. They're going to have to try it. Here's the thing. If it doesn't go well, it will only be one game because the Bears actually have this extra time this week, right? So they play tonight. Everybody else plays Sunday. So they can watch how everybody else does Sunday. And if they got to make a move, they've got some time to get another kicker up to speed. So here's what I think. I think if tonight goes well and he makes it through tonight, I think he's going to be here all season. If tonight goes poorly, I think he only makes it this one game.
That is an unbelievably great question. What has to happen this season for everyone to agree with Ryan Pace that Mitch Trubisky was worth the aggressive move to draft him second overall?
Listen, and I'm in all due respect, the aggressive move and all the rest of it, I think the problem is that there's an MVP out there and a really good young player that is taking that. It's, you talk to people around the league, and it's Patrick Mahomes is so damn good that it's unbelievable. His accuracy, his arm strength, he's the whole package. So you're always going to feel like you got the wrong quarterback out of that draft. I think that that what has to happen to understand what Ryan Pace, why he was aggressive and made the move, is the kind of growth we're talking about with Mitch. The light needs to come on. You just need to win a game because of Mitch. You need to win a couple games because Mitch gets it. And you'll know it when you see it. You'll know when he sees something and when when you watch him play, you can tell when he's not quite sure what to do and maybe he takes off or whatever it might be. But I think that once he becomes in control of his environment, And it's as simple and subtle as that. It has nothing to do with wins and losses or anything like that. You came out of that season and you thought, you know, Mitch had some good moments, everything. Look at his numbers. His numbers were really good. But if you watched it, it wasn't as good as it could have been, right? So I think that's the thing. It's going to be a visual test, and you'll know it when you see it. And you can still feel good about Ryan Pace moving up and getting the guy, but you're never going to feel great about it because of Patrick Mahomes.
Look it out, yeah, around. But I think you look at the other quarterback. You look at Goff in L.A. You look at the number one overall pick a couple seasons ago, and you look at the way they handled that. He was 0-7 before Sean McVay arrived. He's 24-7 since. They gave him the big money. They gave him the big contract. Has he earned it statistically? I don't know. I think you want to take a step back in Chicago. You look at the big picture, and the big picture statistically, don't get caught up with touchdown-interception ratio, how many passing yards, rushing yards, or anything like that. Avoid those traps, because if you're the Bears front office, you're looking at this as a bottom-line proposition. Does Mitch Trubisky's presence make you a Super Bowl team? Does it make you a Super Bowl contender? If the answer to that question is yes, then it was worth whatever you gave up to move up to get him, because he can help you get where you need to go. That's the criteria that is used to whether or not this was a good move. That's the criteria you're going to use to whether or not you're going to pay him the $110 million guarantee that Jared Goff just received and the $100 million plus that Carson Wentz got. Both those guys are there because they believe they can win a Super Bowl with those quarterbacks.
What would it take for him not to get paid, David? I mean, you know, right now he's got the money in his hip pocket. All he can do is lose it, right? If he is just as good as they need him to be, he's going to get paid.
If he doesn't get paid, the wheels have fallen off.
Yes.
But the wheels could still fall off as we sit here, but I think we want to go into this season optimistically and believing that anything is possible, because as we sit here this morning, anything really is, and that includes Mitch Trubisky being a Super Bowl-level quarterback who's good enough to justify everything the Bears did to move up to get him.
This is going to sound a little harsh and maybe a little expecting a little bit too much in just year three of Mitch as the guy here. But if you look at Pat Mahomes, who was the league MVP, and you look at guys like Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, veterans even like Wilson, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, I mean, all of these guys have either been to a Super Bowl or won league MVP. And when you are taken number two overall in front of last year's MVP, when you give up so many assets to move up, when people even at the time were like, did you really need to do that? I think you would have been okay. I don't think the Niners were going to take Mitch Trubisky. He didn't have to do all that, Ryan Pace. But he went and did it, and he went up and he got the guy that he wanted. And the only way that that can be justified is if Mitch Trubisky this season, he's in the perfect spot with the perfect coach and the weapons around him and the perfect defense, maybe not the perfect kicker, but the rest of the situation has all lined up and all of the stars have lined up and all of the planets are in retrograde and whatever the hell else you want to say. He has to either win MVP or get this team to the Super Bowl. He doesn't have to win the Super Bowl. I don't want to put that much loft on him, but he's either got to win MVP or make it to a Super Bowl, because when you are taken that high and you have this expectation and you have all the pieces in place, that is the expectation that is levied upon you. And that's maybe a little harsh, maybe a little unfair, but for me, where I'm sitting right now here in the beautiful Hyundai Studios, that is my expectation for Mitchell Trubisky this season.
Well, I don't think that's unfair at all, Kevin, because that is the expectation that's been set with this team, and you have one side of the ball that's an elite level, and you got to a taste of the postseason. You know that it's not a crazy expectation. It's not too much to put on Mitch, I don't think, at least in terms of expectations. But I don't think he's ever going to shake this the disagreement among the contingent of NFL fans and Bears fans. I think this is something that's always going to remain with him. I mean, the biggest thing he can do, I agree with Kevin, is Super Bowl. Get to the Super Bowl. He also has to make that big step. I think he has to shake the fact that people can call him a system quarterback. Take a step, show you can win some games as the quarterback, and not if he can break the you know, everyone calling him a system quarterback and show that he has improved. And if the Bears get to the Super Bowl, that's the only way that the conversation will die down about it, Pace being too aggressive. That's the only way.
Finding and identifying a quarterback is every GM's worst nightmare, right? The Bears weren't the only team that passed on Mahomes. Right? I mean, he wasn't the only guy out there. I think based on the fact that they did what they did last year and matched him up with this coach, I think it already has justified it.
It's all about the
coach. The next
question
is going to be, what does he have to do to justify the contract, right? He's got to win a playoff game. And he can't be the reason why they don't make the playoffs. He can't be the reason why they don't win a playoff game. Obviously, there's no way Pace knew that the Raiders weren't going to have cash in hand to be able to keep Khalil Mack around, right? They didn't know that was going to happen. So you can't give him credit like this was part of the big picture. Well, I'm going to get this Trubisky kid, and then the Raiders are going to be cash poor, so I'm going to be able to steal Khalil Mack for them. Listen, if they win the division and win a playoff game this year, and he's the leader of the team, that's going to justify it if it already hasn't justified it.
I mean, that's a pretty general question.
All right, so who wins tonight's season opener by what score, and who will we be talking about the most tomorrow morning, be it good or bad?
Prediction time. Got to love that one. Right, Molly, put it out there. All right, tonight, Bears 31, Packers 19. I don't think it's going to be as close as Vegas expects. I don't think it's going to be as close as Wisconsin hopes. Bears are going to be a 12-point winner. I think tomorrow morning we'll be talking, obviously, about Mitch Trubisky. I think we'll be talking about Eddie Pinheiro because you have to evaluate him. But I think the takeaway from tonight's game could be, boy, isn't Roquan Smith good?
I'm going to go Bears 21-17, and I'm going to say that we're going to talk about David Montgomery. I think that this is going to be a lower-scoring game than expected. I think the Bears are going to run the football pretty well, and I think we're going to talk about – the new running back in town and how special he is.
I also have 21-17 as the final score, Mully, but I'm taking...
You copycat!
Copycat!
But I'm taking the Packers.
If you have a Sharpie, you can change that prediction.
Oh, you did it.
If you have a Sharpie, you can change anything. That's right, even a map. If you don't want to apologize for being a dumbass on Twitter. But our guy Rich Campbell wrote a fantastic piece on Matt LaFleur yesterday. Here's the headline. He bombed an interview 5 years ago to be Maryland's wideout coach. Now he's the Packers head coach. How did that happen? And it goes on to explain the journey of Matt LaFleur. I think he is the biggest wild card in this whole thing. I don't know anything about Matt LaFleur, and I think that there is a reason that Aaron Rodgers agreed to let him be hired as the head coach, because I think obviously he had a ton of input in that decision. And I think maybe first game, they might catch the Bears off guard a little bit here. And I can't shake out of my mind the last thing we saw from the Bears was laying an egg in that NFC playoff game last season. So until they get that monkey off their back, so to speak, I'm taking the Packers to win tonight. And, yes, I'm bracing myself for the text messages, which are incoming.
I'm going to say 28-17 Bears. And who will we be talking about? Of course, no matter what, we're going to be talking about Eddie Pinheiro, Mitch Trubisky. Whether or not Trey Burton plays, that's going to be something we're going to be keeping an eye on and talking about. And I think we're going to be talking about how much of a beast Khalil Mack is.
Boy, I hope you're right, Ray, with the Khalil Mack. 24-13, the Bears. Mully, I'm with you. David Montgomery seems like it. But just to change it up just a little bit, I'm going to go Mike Davis from Seattle, right?
Fair enough.
Same idea that you've got. Just I think he might get some key, big, hard yards late in the game to secure this thing down the stretch. And he's kind of been forgotten because we've talked about it. I mean, a third-round pick, David Montgomery, with first-round expectations and first-round eyes on this guy. And I think it's almost – it almost seems a little too obvious – that the game plan is going to be to get Montgomery like 8 to 10 touches tonight. So maybe it's going to be Mike Davis because everybody expects it to be Montgomery. But I think seeing how Nagy uses Davis, Montgomery, and Tariq Cohen is going to be very, very interesting. Go Bears.
It's a great question, and so many of them were so good. In fact, all of them I learned something from, that if I mention one of them, I'm going to leave out all of them. And if I try to mention all of them, I won't remember some, and I'll regret that.
5 at 5 is brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight, download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app, and check in. Who will play in the Super Bowl next February?
Well, I was ready to take the Chiefs and the Eagles. I'm going to take instead the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't know exactly why. I just had a feeling as I was going through this. You know, part of the problem is that teams that I liked are already in trouble. I liked the Colts. I thought that was a good dark horse candidate. I thought that was a team that could make some a noise. But, you know, you really don't win when you lose your quarterback. And that's not just for Super Bowl teams. I know that we've had exceptions to that rule, but over the last 20 years, backup quarterbacks have won 42.8% of the games they've started. So that's a lot of losses around the NFL, and I understand the varying degree, but look at all the big teams. You name a team, and I'll tell you if they can win without their quarterback. We're going to see one tonight. In fact, we'll see
two. You're going to see two tonight.
Yeah, they can't win without their quarterback. So, But I'm going to go with the Steelers winning the Super Bowl over the Philadelphia Eagles.
I love your Steelers pick. I love the idea of them doing more with less in terms of talent and moving on from Antonio Brown, the nightmare and drama king that he is out in Oakland, and Le'Veon Bell. I love the idea of Mike Tomlin winning. I can't go that far. I don't know if they have enough firepower. I don't know if they're deep enough. I wanted to go with the Chargers, but they have too many injuries and too much uncertainty with Melvin Gordon.
I'm with you.
I just think that if they are healthy and if they are whole, that is the team to beat in the AFC. I just don't know if they're going to be healthy or whole all season long. So, look, I hate going chalk, but the Chiefs, to me, adding LeSean McCoy, adding Matthew, adding the pass rusher from Seattle, you can't look at the Chiefs and find an apparent obvious weakness that chemistry may get in their way, but Patrick Mahomes could have another just outstanding year. I'm going Chiefs in the AFC. In the NFC, boy, I like the Eagles. I think the Bears obviously are going to make a run. They're going to make it interesting, especially if the playoffs go through Soldier Field. But it's hard for me to look at the Saints and not look at the Drew Brees kind of maybe in a swan song with a team that has something to prove after the way last season ended. They've got a chip on their shoulder. That's a deep bunch. So I'm going Saints, Chiefs, and the Chiefs are going to be celebrating.
I am picking a rematch of a recent Super Bowl. I think it's going to be the Patriots and the Eagles, and I think the Eagles are going to win it once again.
I'm going Eagles and Chiefs will be the Super Bowl champions.
Wow, are we all very, very similar here. It's kind of scary. I am also going Eagles, Chiefs. I hope it's Bears, Chiefs, and the Chiefs and Patty Mahomes are going to win this thing, and I think Andy Reid's going to go off into the sunset this one.
Well, he is the greatest coach in the league. Well, that's the thing. Belichick.
Maybe finally he can deserve some of this unbelievable praise that he always receives for being this great coach.
Well, he has hung around a long time. Yeah, there is something to that, no?
He's consistent. He's hung around a long time. I respect his offensive brain. But when people compare him to Belichick...
No, well, and the people. And, name the people.
You know what?
One of them works Belichick, here in the afternoon.
Let me tell you something. You want to talk about the easiest position in the league to be in that division all these years. Belichick's a genius, and he's great, and I'm not down playing that, but... You could pick them every year based on the fact that they're going to win their division and be in the playoffs every
yes.
year. It's ridiculous how bad that division is. Maybe Buffalo can finally step up, but God almighty, you look at what the Jets are doing, and it's going to take a while. I like Adam Gase, but holy cow, Miami? Woo! They might be worse than Arizona. All right, that's the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. Come down and see us. Come by the lobby. We're at 1-2 Prue. Register. You can win a pair of tickets to see the Bears-Packers live, the Miller Lite Loft. You'll get yourself a couple tickets. You'll be out at the game. Everyone's going to be watching. We want to thank our sponsors. We got a lot of great people behind us. That's how it gets done. Not just Mitch Rosen, but also Lou Mitchell's. Oh, my God, Lou Mitchell's. That is a great place. Sweetwater Tavern and Grill. If you're downtown, head over there. Fantastic. And why not have a Miller Lite? When you're over there, Miller Lite is wonderful. Ford, thank you, Ford. And, of course, our host, 1-2 Prue, they are our homeland, and we love them dearly. Or are they our motherland? We'll call them the homeland. 1-2 Prue. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.